Buzzer that airs the second Saturday of every month. It's hosted by Gateway IT instructor Christine Lazaro and Gateway IT graduate Dave Snedeker.
So good morning, everyone. As I promised last month, today's show is going to be basically a review of Windows 10, and I'm going to, at the end of it, or probably maybe even in the middle-ish or whenever, there's going to be some advice on whether or not to upgrade right away. So let's talk about some of the more noticeable features and differences with Windows 10 than with Windows 8.1 or Windows 7. First thing, let's talk about the upgrade itself. You'll have, if you currently have Windows 7 with all of the updates installed so that your Windows 7 is current, or you have Windows 8.1, when I say Windows 7, by the way, that means Service Pack 1 is installed on it. With Windows 8, you have to have upgraded to Windows 8.1 for the free upgrade, and you'll have up to a year, so you don't have to rush into it. Obviously, the upgrades will start July 29th. And one thing I do want to stress and mention is even if you sign up to upgrade right away, July 29th, don't expect to necessarily get upgraded right away as Microsoft plans to roll out the upgrades. You can imagine there's probably going to be lots of people that are going to want to upgrade, and so to avoid overloading servers, they're going to roll the upgrades out incrementally. So you may not get upgraded right away on July 29th, but they hope to get all of the upgrades accomplished within a week or so. So that's the first thing that you want to consider. Again, you have up to 1 year to upgrade. So if you're a little skeptical over whether or not this is ready for prime time, wait and see what happens. Get some of the, you know, bugs worked out, et cetera, et cetera. But let me tell you, with the way that Microsoft has been working Windows 10 with the insider preview and open basically to anybody in the public, there a lot of the bugs have already been worked out. So I don't think that there's anything that you necessarily have to be that concerned about. Yes, obviously, once it goes full board and starts mixing with all of the other applications and devices that are out there, something's going to get noticed, you know. So, but if, again, if you're a little skeptical, wait for a while, you know. I was reading some of the blogs and some people were saying, yeah, I'm going to wait until day 364 to do my upgrade. Certainly, you know, definitely an option. A lot of people always also have the philosophy, I'm going to wait for the first service pack. So, you know, you can also consider that. But again, you have one whole year to upgrade for free. Again, Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 users. If you're still running XP, shame on you. And if you're running Vista, then you are not going to be eligible for that free upgrade. It's just Windows 7, Windows 8. So that's, you know, that's the first things on the upgrades. Again, the caution of don't expect to get your upgrade right away on July 29th. You know, they're going to do that rolling rollout. Boy, say that twice, right? And you do have up to a year to do that. So that's on that. I still haven't said whether or not I think you should upgrade, because there's some things you want to consider before you talk about that. But let's talk a little bit more about some of the features. If you have been a user of Windows 8.1, and if you've been a user by any chance, if you're one of the few of us that are using a Windows phone with Windows Phone 8, Windows 10 is going to look very, very familiar in a lot of respects, in that it will still have the tile aspect of the tablet or Metro desktop of Windows 8. But one thing I want to make real clear is if you're using Windows 8.1 right now, especially on a desktop or even on a tablet, you know that there's two different modes, so to speak. There's the, you know, regular old desktop mode that we're all used to from Windows 7. Then there's that, you know, tablet mode or Metro style or Live Tile style, whatever you want to call it. That separation of desktop modes is now gone. There isn't any separation. Okay, it's all one and the same. The desktop will look somewhat different. Think of it almost as taking, you know, the regular desktop, the regular Windows desktop, and the kind of the Metro thing, and combining the two. So it's going to have a little bit of a different look, but still very, very easy to use. Yes, the start menu is back. It's not the standard round start button, but it is definitely a start button. And when you go ahead and click on it, users of Windows 8.1 know that, you know, there is a pseudo start button and you have to right click on it to get anything. If you just regular left click on it, it takes you to that tile mode or Metro mode. Now you can just left click on that start button and it will bring up a regular start menu with a list of different options. There is one that's called All Programs, so you can look at all of the programs. There's also kind of an intuitive sense in that even when you're in the All Programs, they're alphabetized. So, and then they're separated by their letters. So if you are looking for a program that starts with M, and if you type M, it'll quickly jump to the M's, M programs. You can also easily search, you know, which is something that I've gotten, you know, quite used to doing when I right-click on my Windows 8.1 start button and I'm looking for a program. If I don't already have a shortcut on my toolbar, then I use the search to get to that. You will also have, as part of the start menu, it's almost, this is where they took kind of that Metro UI, sort of, and they shrunk it down a little bit. Now it's part of the start menu. And the tiles there, they can be live tiles, they can be shortcut tiles to a regular program. You can also get rid of them all, get rid of all of the tiles. By default, there's a few tiles, you know, for the new browser, which we'll talk about in a second. You know, just some of the things that come with the base installation. I didn't install any programs when I tested Windows 10. I just used the base install. So there are a few tiles by default. The tiles are resizable. There's three different sizes, small, medium, and large. And as I said, you can get rid of them completely so you don't have to have that. But if you're a visual user, it comes in, you know, quite handy to be able to, you know, take a look at all your different programs. The taskbar at the bottom of your screen is still there, so you can also pop shortcuts on there, and you can pop shortcuts on the desktop. So it's, in reality, it's really like they took Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 and kind of combined them all with some added features. So, you know, that's one of the kind of nice things. It is fairly intuitive to use, and anything that you're used to doing in Windows, it's still there. So a couple of the other features. One of the ones I played with quite a bit, and again, anybody that's used a Windows phone knows about Cortana. Cortana is Microsoft's answer to Siri and Google Assistant, I think it is. So Cortana is a voice-activated, or you can just type things to Cortana, but it's your digital assistant. And Cortana can help you do searching. Cortana can keep track of your appointments and remind you of appointments. You can use Cortana to, you know, if you've got an appointment, Cortana will let you know if there's any traffic jams, any kinds of things. And again, it's, you know, voice-activated or type-activated, whichever you prefer. And Cortana is kind of nice. And I need to kind of jump ahead a little bit here with respect to Windows 10. One of the driving forces with Windows 10 is what Microsoft is calling Continuum. And basically with Continuum is integrating all of your devices together. So if you have an Xbox 360 and you have a Windows tablet and you have a Windows computer, all of these things will now kind of integrate. And it's kind of a neat little thing. So, for example, if you have an Xbox 360, if you're sitting at your computer and you're streaming a movie while you're doing some work, you can pause it on your computer and then pick it up on your Xbox 360. That's part of that continuum thing. So if you have a Windows phone, and by the way, Cortana is also going to be, if I understood that correctly, Cortana is going to be available for your Android phone and for your iPhone. Honest, I read that. So if you have a Windows desktop and you want to use the Cortana app, again, that continuum, if you are, you know, if you schedule an appointment or you put something in your calendar on your desktop, it'll still remind you on your other devices. So that's part of that whole continuum integration kind of thing. So it's kind of a neat little thing. So that's Cortana. And again, you know, it works pretty good. There's two voices. There's a male voice and a female voice. I'm sure as more people use it, you know, they might even bring out some other, you know, voice features. works pretty well. I had no issues with it. Some people with heavier accents did have a bit of a challenge. It was my understanding from one of the reviews I read, a British person had a little challenge with it. But again, it starts learning your voice. It starts learning your habits. And that's the other thing that Cortana does, if you want. It will learn your habits. And so if you routinely search for, you know, a particular thing, when you go on your computer, Cortana will alert you. Hey, there was some news on this, or, you know, you were looking at this particular product. I saw that it was on sale at such and such a place. So, you know, and you know, kind of keep track of that. There is a new browser. That one was heavily touted. It's called Edge. And from my perspective, it looked very much like Google Chrome, the Chrome browser. So if you're used to using Chrome, you'll like Edge. Those of you that, like me, you know, still like Internet Explorer for the control and some of the other added flexibility that Internet Explorer gives you, you'll be pleased to know that Internet Explorer is still included with Windows 10. It is not necessarily apparent because Microsoft would like you to use the Edge, but it is there, and it is under the Windows or Windows accessories. So that's where it doesn't, it's not out there standing alone by itself. You have to go into the kind of the program group of Windows accessories to find it. But the Edge, it's a nice browser. One of the things they stripped away from it was ActiveX support. So it's, you know, it's a little bit more secure, I guess. It does run fairly fast. And one of the nicest features that I found was there's a little reader. It looks like a book. It looks like an open book icon. And basically what it does is it converts web pages and it strips out all of the ads. So you can just, you know, concentrate on what you're reading. Works very nicely for news stories and things like that. But it doesn't quite work for forums and all that because there's, you know, too much other stuff going behind the scenes. One of the other things that Edge has is it has an integrated web note. So you can annotate websites, you know, by highlighting different things and then share those web pages. This is anybody that does that, you know, like in education, we kind of currently do that with some third-party apps. For example, there's one called Digo, D-I-I-G-O, but now that's built into that Edge browser, so you can do that. So anybody that likes to share on social media, you can annotate the website and then share it with those people. Another thing that Windows 10 has now natively supports is what's called multiple desktops. And basically what this is you know, some of us use our computers for multiple purposes. We use them for fun. We use them for games. We use them for business. So you can set up different desktops that will have those apps there so you can concentrate on that, which is kind of a nice feature. Rather than plopping all of your icons on your toolbar or your desktop, you can separate things. And I think it lends itself a little bit to productivity. I think that's a kind of a cool thing. And you can drag apps between your desktops as well, so you're not locked into anything. But it is kind of nice for organizing your life and organizing your computer usage. That's another thing that I also want to mention with that continuum. If you use a Microsoft Live ID to log on or sign on to your computer, if you use multiple computers and you use that Live ID, those settings will carry over to all of your different devices. So if you have a desktop at work and you have a desktop at home and you have a tablet and you have a laptop, then all of those different settings can carry forward, so you don't have to remember, you know, oh yeah, I got to copy my favorites, or I've got to, you know, copy this or copy that. It'll all be kept track for you, and you don't have to, you know, keep trying to remember all your configuration settings to make it look one and the same. That, you know, that's already available in Windows 8, in Windows 8.1, but in Windows 10, because of the multiple desktops and everything else, it's really carried forward nicely. One of the other things that Windows 10 brings is some additional security features in with respect to logging on. You can log on now with your face or a fingerprint. Now, I will mention that with that face kind of thing, it does require an infrared capable camera, and currently there's only a few laptops that come with that. I did not look to see if there were any, you know, separate webcams available that were infrared. I don't know, some of that smacks a little Big Brother-ish. It doesn't save, you know, it doesn't upload it to the cloud or anything. You know, it just needs to get that, you know, imprint of your face in order to do that. One thing that might disappoint some of you that have been longtime Windows users, Microsoft is getting rid of the Media Center. Now, the Media Center, not to be confused with the Media Player, the Media Center is the one that allows you to record TV if you have that capability with a video card. You know, so it integrates video a little bit more. Microsoft is getting rid of that, but they are incorporating a couple of different things. They took Xbox Music and Xbox Video. The Xbox Music is now, the one that comes with Windows 10 is called Groove, and the Xbox Video one is called Movies and TV. So, you know, rather than having this one application for all that media, but you can still do exactly the same things that you did in the Media Center with the Groove and the Movies and TV. And again, that integration, that streaming to your different devices is still going to be available. We talked about the continuum. Those of you that get annoyed with the Charms bar, you'll be very happy to know that the Charms bar is gone. It's no longer necessary, obviously, because it's all, you know, encapsulated there in the Start button. But what it has been replaced with is a notification area. And this is one that those of you that use Windows Phone will be a little bit more familiar with that notification area. The notification area notifies you not only if you need to do updates or anything like that, but also if you have new postings on Facebook, if you integrate with Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. You can turn that off. And one of the other things is you can turn it off temporarily. There's a setting called Quiet Hours. And what Quiet Hours does, it turns off all of those different notifications. It'll also, this was another thing that I was really happy to see, if you have the professional version or the enterprise version, you can now schedule restarts. Okay, so like when you apply those updates and you get that notification, Windows needs to, you know, restart your computer in the next 15 minutes, you can actually schedule those restarts to not happen on a particular day or not happen during a particular time, you know, time thing. So no more restarts when you're, you know, in the middle of the working day. You can schedule all of that. Big change in Explorer. Windows Explorer or whatever you want to call it, where you can go look at your different folders, your hard drive. Windows Explorer will now show recent places. recent folders, recent files. So like if you right now go into Word, you can see your recent documents. If you go into Excel, you can see your recent documents. Well, now Explorer will show all of those recent places. So if you open that up, that Explorer window, it'll show all of that, which I thought was kind of a nice little feature, for keeping track, especially if you hit things, you know, if you open things on a regular basis. Those of you that do upgrade, you will be, there's going to be an active support, online support community, but you can also, you will be entitled to a free 15-minute support call. So after you upgrade, if, you know, something isn't working, then you will get that free support call if you want to talk to somebody face-to-face. But again, there'll be lots of online community, online support as well that'll be available with that. So let's talk about whether or not you should upgrade. Right away, wait. As I said, you know, you can do it right away if you're really, really eager to see. And, you know, there are going to be plenty of people that are out there that want to do that because they like the latest and greatest and they like to play with fun things and they're not, you know, afraid or timid, or they're not an absolute Microsoft hater, or maybe they're hating 8.1 so badly that they want to jump into 10. So a couple of things you need to consider before you even start thinking about it. First one is, the first thing you want to consider is, what's your equipment status? Are you running a pretty old computer that may have some driver issues? One of the things that Microsoft will do before you even upgrade is they will run a compatibility check, which will check not only your hardware, but also your software. You might have a couple of older applications. Microsoft states that if your current computer and everything you're doing is running fine with Windows 7 or Windows 8.1, you'll have no issues upgrading. Even with Vista, and people that just out, I did two different tests. I did the latest build in a virtual machine, but the build previous to that, and by the way, when I say build, I mean kind of that, you know, test version, old style beta versions, if you will. I ran the second to the newest as an actual installation, a full-blown installation, and everything worked fine on my computer. The more recent one I did that as a virtual machine and, again, had no issues whatsoever. But there have been people that have actually gone full board and upgraded their active computers to one of the test versions. And again, you know, there have been very, very, very positive results of, you know, sure, a couple of little glitches here, but nothing horribly gone awry. You don't have to worry about that. And again, before you even do the upgrade, there will be a compatibility test that's run, so you'll be warned if you're going to have any issues. One of the things that I thought was really neat, pretty much any other upgrades in the history of Microsoft, you've always been told if you upgrade, you can't go back. But with this particular one, Microsoft has actually made it fairly simple to downgrade. If you decide to upgrade to Windows 10 and you decide you really don't like it, there's actually, I'm not going to say it's a click of a button to downgrade, but it is completely possible to downgrade as long as, once you upgrade, don't get rid of that Windows.old folder, because that Windows.old folder will have everything in it, including the operating system, your applications, your documents. So if you are considering upgrading and you think there's a possibility that you might downgrade, or even after you upgrade, you can Google downgrade Windows 10, You know, and you can find the website with, you know, the nice tutorials on how to do it. It actually is a fairly simple process and works pretty nice. A couple of people tested that out, and yeah, it worked fairly nice. Little bit of tweaking after they actually did the downgrade, but nothing that was that difficult that, you know, you couldn't handle. So that's a kind of a nice feature. So should you upgrade? I'm going to. I can honestly tell you I am going to upgrade, mainly because I have multiple computers, and so I will, you know, I will have the, you know, versatility of still having a Windows 8 computer, you know, Windows 10, and the fact that you can downgrade fairly easily, you know, that's a, you know, huge selling point. But the majority reason why I'm going to upgrade is I'm going to have students that will upgrade, and so I need to be aware of issues, you know, using the different applications that we use if they say this didn't work or how do I do this in Windows 10. So I need to be able to support those different operating systems. That's my perspective. I recommend that you wait, you know, unless you're really, really eager and you hate 8.1 that bad or you just love trying new things, wait a month or two. You know, let some of the, you know, some of the things get shaken out a little bit. As I said, you've got a whole year to upgrade. I think it's worth waiting a month or two before you do it, just to let things shake out, get, you know, a little bit more perspective. I don't think it's going to be that buggy on release. Like I said, it's gotten plenty of testing already, and Microsoft has taken a lot of feedback from its, you know, listeners and users and, you know, all of that kind of thing. So I think it's pretty stable right now. But it's always a good philosophy to wait. Especially if this is your only computer that you have and you need it to be reliable and, you know, and always there, it's not a bad idea to wait. I will, you know, obviously, you know, the August show and in the September show, if there's been, you know, any major issues, I'll talk about it and let you know. But yeah, I think it's worth waiting a little bit until we see a little bit more. If you are eager to try new things and you don't mind maybe, you know, a tiny glitch or two, or, you know that you're wanting to use it, then by all means, sign up right away on July 29th. If you look on your computer on your desktop in the lower right-hand corner where your clock is, you may have a little notification symbol that says, yeah, go ahead and sign me up. Some people don't have that. I know I don't. I just haven't, you know, gone through the, you know, how to fix it. But there is a fix for it. Just simply Google missing Windows 10 upgrade button, and it'll tell you how to get that. There's, you know, just a little tweak or two in order to get it. It's not a difficult thing to do. So then you can sign up to get that July 29th. You can also, you know, again, because it's going to be this rolling wave thing, but you can also sign up for a particular day as well. So, you know, you can subscribe to the upgrade, but say, you know what, I want to upgrade on August 15th or, you know, whatever it might be. Especially because the upgrade is obviously going to take a little time. I don't think I would schedule my upgrade for 8 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning. You might be without your computer for a little bit, but, you know, certainly Sunday night at 9 o'clock might not be a bad thing. So that's my take on Windows 10. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to drop me an email at lazaroc@gtc.edu. And have a good rest of the weekend, everyone. Thank you.
You've been listening to Technology Matters with hosts Christine Lazaro and Dave Snedeker.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the